time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As we study the book of Ephesians, let us remember that Paul the Apostle is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In other words, what he's writing is God-breathed. This is something that he's not a robot that simply is pinning down things that that he's instructed to as far as you must do this, you must do that. Paul the Apostle is writing. He's giving us insight as to what God is telling him, as to what we need to know that comes from the very breath, the mouth of God. And once again, Paul is not a robot, but he is using what God wants him to use. He often pins down things that happened to him personally. And these things God wants us to know, we may be going through some of the same things that Paul the Apostle went through one day. We don't know. We know that Paul the Apostle was a man of God, and he listened to the voice of the Lord. And we listen to the voice of the Lord in the Scripture as we study the Word of God. Now, we never know what we're going to go through as a Christian. The Christian life is not a bed of roses. It's something that when we get saved, we're still on this earth. We're still here. We're still human. And there are still problems that come into our lives. Now, Paul the Apostle gives us some insight as to how we can go through this life trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has saved us and has made it possible for us one day to be with him in heaven. Well, Paul the Apostle, once again, is pinning down in the book of Ephesians. He's writing to a local church. And I remind you that as he's writing to the local church, the body of Christ there, we also are being written to. We need to listen to what God has for us as we study the book of Ephesians or any other book of the Bible that has been given to us so that we can have, if you would, a roadmap telling us the things of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Verse 12 goes on to say, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." I'd like for you to note this. What did God give some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, as we read of in Ephesians 4:11? What God gave those, we read of in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "For the perfecting of the saints," in verse 12. Perfecting. This means complete furnishing. Well, now, consider the Greek rendering of this word, the word perfecting in Ephesians 4:12. And as I look at that, and I see more than it meaning maturing, in other words, to mature in the Lord. I by no means am a Greek scholar, and I fear many who hold themselves out as a Greek or as Greek scholars of the New Testament are anything but. And I'm still able to, and so are you able to, look in a good Bible concordance. We're able to look there, and we can see the rendering of words found in the New Testament. Now, let me quickly add, when we find the rendering of a Greek word, we must always read the section of the text to see if Scripture matches Scripture. In other words, does the word fit the context of the thought being presented in that section of Scripture? Does it make spiritual sense? Well, I believe what the word perfecting in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12 is saying to us is that God had given everything the early church needed for maturing, and that he has also given everything that we need for our perfection, our maturing in the Lord. Now, those things that we need are found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Now, the Lord has given to his body, the church, saved people in the local church, everything necessary to be what he wants us to be while serving him in this life. We have everything needed for the work of the ministry and for the teaching, or in other words, the edifying of the people of God in the body of Christ, the local church. Now again, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Notice again, there is no mistake when it comes to knowing who the body of Christ is. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 22 and 23 says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And of course, the body of Christ is speaking of the body of Christ in these verses, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, the body of Christ. And it goes on to say, which is the church, which is his body, the body of Christ. And once again, I remind you that there are no mistakes in the Bible. The early church was the Jerusalem church. The Jerusalem church was a visible local church. And all through the New Testament, we see New Testament local churches. The church at Philippi, the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, the church at Galatia, and on the list goes of local churches of local people belonging to a visible local church. Now, God's plan for us today is to belong to a visible, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, sin-hating local church. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Well, why do Bible-believing churches meet on Sunday? When we read Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, part of the verse says, "And so much the more as you see the day approaching." Well, what day is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 speaking of? Well, as we read God's Word, things become a little clearer the more we study. Stay in the Word of God. You cannot improve upon the Word of God. We must stay in the book in order to understand the things of God. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." Well, now we're looking at why churches meet on Sunday. The sepulcher that we read of in Matthew 28 and verse 1, of course, speaks of where Jesus had been buried. Take note of the words, "first day of the week." Now, we know that the first day of the week is Sunday. And in John chapter 20 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." Mark chapter 16 and verse 2, and it says, "And very early in the morning of the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun." And then in Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, "Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils." Notice, Jesus was risen early the first day of the week. That would be Sunday, of course. Now, if you'll notice in the preceding verses that Jesus had raised on the first day of the week, and it is Sunday. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the Bible says, "As you see the day approaching." Well, we can look at those words, and I believe we can do no harm in saying the day spoken of could mean the day of Christ's return, or, as some believe, when the rapture of the church takes place. Well, I would look at the verse and personally say the words that we read, "As ye see the day approaching," I believe it to mean Sunday. Well, since the verse speaks of assembling, I believe the assembling speaks of God's people, I believe, who are to meet, assemble on Sunday, commemorating the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Well, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, "exhorting one another." Now, we are to encourage, to exhort each other to be in our place in our local church, the closer we get to the Lord's Day, that Sunday. And, of course, we're to stay close together as we see Jesus. We're looking for him to come back in the rapture of the church. And thank the Lord, we'll be with him when he comes back the second time to this earth. We'll already be with him. But we're to exhort one another and help each other to understand these things. Now, if you do not belong to a local church, how in the world could you expect or exhort anyone to go to church? If a person is not a member of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church, then based on the Word of God, that person is in disobedience to God's Word. The Word of God says we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and that's saved people. We're not to forsake the assembling together. We are to exhort one another daily to assemble. Well, how can you or I exhort someone to assemble in the house of God if you or I refuse to assemble in the house of God personally ourselves, the local church? Well, Christ has given us all we need as the body of Christ to assemble ourselves together, to have success in the Christian life, in the local church. Now, there's many problems that we see and we've heard of in local churches that take place, and I believe it's because the local churches are not utilizing the things that God has given that local church to use that comes from him. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 again says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." And we've talked about this before, how that some of these that is mentioned in that verse, they're not needed now. He gave some apostles. They were founders of the local church. And he gave some prophets. These were people whom God used before the completed Word of God. We don't need them today as such because we have the completed Word of God. And when I speak of a prophet, as I've spoken here, I'm speaking of a prophet who foretells things that's going to happen in the future. They're not needed today. And if someone tells you that they're foreseeing something that is going to happen in the future, and if it's not found in the Word of God, they're false prophets. A prophet today would be one who foretells, in other words, gives the Word of God and tells the Word of God the way it is. The Bible goes on to say in Ephesians 4:11, and some evangelists. I believe there are evangelists today who go into local churches and they preach the Word of God, but more than that, they go out and they tell people how to be saved. Each person who tells another person how to be saved, that person in my definition of an evangelist is one who is an evangelist. What, that person who is evangelizing, telling other individuals, you must be born again. And the Bible says, and some pastors and teachers. Notice, everybody is not an evangelist as such that we read of here. An evangelist, once again, is one who tells others how to be saved in the sense that I just put it. And everyone who tells another person, we evangelize. But the word evangelist here, as a preacher going into a local church, everyone's not called to be that evangelist going into a local church and preaching. And everyone's not called to be a pastor or a teacher. It says some people. It says some have been given that gift to do these things. For what? Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Trust Jesus today as your Lord and Savior. And if you do know him, live for him, helping other individuals know him as Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.